specifically, for instance, in the revision that is going on,
yes,
what kind of changes does the student body feel ought to be made?
Well, there are a number involved here. I think that one of the problems, first of all, with the present Constitution is that the phraseology is rather loose in certain places. There are some problems with wordings and the way it could be interpreted, it's very vague. And we would like to tie this together just to strengthen what we have. But also, we would like to incorporate some new ideas, one which we feel is very valuable, namely that we realize that ideally a student body should be interested in whatever goes on at all times. As Tenney said, however, the student body is not always interested in what goes on at all times. So we have a problem, how to get the student body interested. And secondly, when they are interested, and it's usually in a great amount that can't be handled, how can we control this? How can we direct our efforts to finding out what the problem is and how can we handle this problem? And I think that the basic idea in revising this Constitution is to incorporate this following thing, and that is to utilize the council members in the role of going out to the students. Instead of expecting the students to come to the council member, we'd like to have the council member go out and actively try to find out what the problems are when something arises. Now, I'll spell this out a little more clearly. We felt that we would like to increase the council from 9 to 12, have equal representation from all classes. We felt that the college being so small as it is, that the freshmen had, a lot to offer, not just the seniors, because, for instance, when freshmen come in, they have a sort of an objective view. They can look more clearly as to what problems there are on campus. When students are here for 3 years, they sort of get set in their ways, and they may not see the inconveniences that certain systems provide. But freshmen can try to give us some idea as to what these problems are. They can say, why do you do this? Why is it this way? Why not the other way? And they can give us a fresh view. So we feel that this is valuable. Also, this idea of increasing the council to 12 is, in a sense, a compromise with the present system of the dormitory committee. This is a committee which is elected above and beyond the members on the council to serve as seeing how the toilets in a dormitory function. This seems to be the way that they define the committee, but also to sit in on council meetings. But we feel that in order to have this committee function properly in this respect, as going out to see students, that we'd have to give them, some responsibility above and beyond what they do have now. And we feel that at the moment it's a very innocuous committee, and that in order to make them have a real function, we have to give them real responsibility, such as full council membership, with the exclusion of honor system trials, perhaps, or budgeting, picking of committees. But in regular student affairs, we would want them to have full responsibility. However, this becomes rather unfeasible because we would then have a council of 26, which just couldn't be run under the Quaker business method, and thus we would lose a great deal. So in a sense, we feel that we can compromise and increase the council from 9 to 12, and then take these 12 members and assign, let's say, a different area on campus to them. For instance, if two or so live in Leeds, they can take care of this area. And what we would do is, before every student association meeting, and there are two a year, one at the beginning of each semester, we would have these members go out to their specific areas, be it one or two or even three areas, and try to tap student opinion, call a meeting together at a specified time, and say, what are your problems? What do you want to know? What are your ideas as far as straightening them out? And also, having been sitting on the council and knowing what the council views are, to be able to say right at the time, this is what the council believes. This is how we feel that we can straighten out the problem. This is why the administration is doing this, so that we can quell reactionary views right there at the source, rather than letting the group come together in one large mass and exploding when we have an association meeting. Thus, if we hold these meetings before the plenary session of the association, we can tap the student opinion and plan our program in that association meeting so that we know exactly what the problems are and we can formulate the council views to present them to the student body as a whole. This idea may also be used when problems pop up concerning almost anything. I mean, if there's a large issue that explodes at a moment, we can call out the council members to go out and find out what the problems are, essentially, and do the same thing. This is the basic thing that we're trying to include in this revision. It's a sort of a new view. Instead of having the students, expecting the students to come to council members, which is nice in theory, but just doesn't work practically, we're going to try to have the council members go to the students. And I feel personally that, and I think I can speak for the present council, that any council member who is elected to this responsibility feels this responsibility strongly and certainly will expend his utmost energy in going out and doing this job. I think it will greatly improve our system of government.
I think, too, not only the work of the council this year to change perhaps the existing practice of the student coming to the council, but I think you all have, I saw a couple copies of the news floating around. There's an editorial in there by this year's editor concerning something that Dr. Borton brought up at collection last week about the new organ. And I think the news has taken a very active part and should be commended for its part in trying to get the students to make their opinions known verbally and not through the demonstrations of, well, youth or immaturity that have been shown the last couple of years.
May I interrupt just a minute? I know you all know that Dr. Emlyn Stokes, Chamber of Board of Managers, has joined us, and I want him to know that we're very glad to have him with us.
What is the last provision of the
John Parker,
the last provision of the Constitution you referred to? When was it last?
The last time it was 1950. Oh, well, the last thing that we have done was last year we passed an amendment. As far as, but you mean a complete revision?
Way back
5 years
ago.
I don't know,
at least
a long
time ago.
Oh yes, probably around 1950.
Probably when Jerry Quine was.
Yeah.
Ingram Richardson, on a somewhat different subject, I'd like to ask Mr. Engelhardt, are you a president of the senior class for this year or permanently?
This year, it's elected each year.
But this is your senior year. Who will be the president of the class hereafter as alumni?
That has to be determined by another election, which will hold in the spring.
That's held in the spring of the year, and he is then president indefinitely.
Unless somebody decides to impeach him, then they won't.
Well, I'd like to comment a little on that, because I was so elected for the class of 1928, and I think it was unfortunate for me and for the college and for others like me who find that they have that office and responsibility indefinitely. You see, graduates travel all over, leave the vicinity of Haverford and will perhaps live on the Pacific coast or in the south for one or another reason. They may not be able to maintain their interest in the college, at least sufficiently close to be the president of the class. And I would suggest that your class might well elect a class president for the first 5 years after graduation. And thereafter, at each five-year reunion, elect another class president, because only after the first, let's say the first 5 years, well, there have been time for a shakeout so that you can see who are interested, who are in a position to be interested, to take a position of leadership in a class, which is so important to Ben Cooper, for example, as the alumni president. Lived in Chicago for 13 years after graduation, and in Boston for about 8 years. Repeatedly, I tried to resign, but your fellow classmates just won't accept your
resignation. So you find you continue on, and you are just unable to do the kind of job that you should do. And so I just throw that out as a suggestion that you make the office of class president not permanent, but for a 5-year period, eligible for re-election after 5 years, but also giving your class an opportunity to elect someone else after that period.
I'd like to answer Ingram, because what he says will break my first station.